So again, her name is Brené Brown, B-R-E-N-E, Brown. She's written a number of books. She has a website. Just Google Brené Brown, you will find her. Here's a book I have. It's called Daring Greatly. This is her most recent book. And yeah, it may not be talking at all about God, but I will tell you the principles in here are absolutely godly. And I think you picked up the theme here. She wasn't talking about God. I mean, she talked about her own, you know, she had a spiritual awakening, she called it, which I would call probably when she said breakdown. That's called dying to self. How many know that? That's really what that was about. If you want to put it in, how does that look in the scripture? If you do it fast, it's like breakdown. If you do it slowly, we call it dying to self. But I think she ended up very fast because what? She saw truth and she said, I want this. This is truth. She was so convinced by hearing person after person after person and seeing truth. She just went, okay, I'm in. I don't like it, but I'm in. So I want to read something. This is something she shared about how that was for her. Okay? This was before she had this talk, right before when she was going into this talk. She said this, I took a deep breath and recited my vulnerability prayer as I waited for my turn. Give me the courage to show up and let myself be seen. Then, seconds before I was introduced, I thought about a paperweight on my desk that reads, what would you attempt to do if you knew you couldn't fail? I pushed that question out of my head to make room for a new question. As I walked up to the stage, I literally whispered out loud, what's worth doing, even if I fail? Yeah. We, I think, too much have thought that the goal was being perfect. The goal was doing everything right. No. We were created imperfect. We were created with flaws, with weaknesses, with vulnerabilities. We all were. Our completeness and our perfection is in Him, is in the connection with Him is what makes us perfect. We are perfect in Him, not what we can do. We can't do perfect, ever. It's our connection that is perfect. But I think we've misunderstood that a lot. And we can be so hard on ourselves. So after her TED talk, this was her response. I honestly don't remember much of what I said, but when it was over, I was back knee deep in the vulnerability hangover again, capital letters. Was the risk worth it? Absolutely. I'm passionate about my work and I believe in what I've learned from my research participant. I believe honest conversations about vulnerability and shame can change the world. Both of the talks are flawed and imperfect, but I walked into the arena and gave it my best shot. The willingness to show up changes us. Willingness to just show up. Take a risk being yourself with others. Take a risk being yourself with God. It makes us a little braver each time. And I'm not sure how one measures the success or failure of a talk. But the minute I was done, I knew that even if it flopped or drew criticism, it had been worth doing. Lord, give us the courage to show up and allow ourselves to be seen, to be ourselves. We are, each one of you is the best gift God can give to the world, each one of you being yourself. Not trying to be what we think someone else wants us to be. And that's our journey, isn't it? To discover the fullness of who each and every one of us is. So what she pointed out here is in order to have true connection, we need to be vulnerable. That's scary. We need to be honest about our heart. We always love it when somebody else does it, don't we? Don't you love it when somebody's up there? I mean, we love her. We love it. We love her being up there, being so sharing and honest and about her struggle. And but it feels a whole lot different. But it's me doing that. Oh, I'm not so sure how I feel about that. But it is so satisfying when we have those kind of connections. And God wants to free us up to have that with Him too. To really be honest about our struggle, about our fears. Yeah. He so wants to be with you. So I'm wondering if we could just, and after this little piece, we'll do maybe spend a little time with some questions, if there's any questions. But I just want to do a little processing here for a minute, if it's okay with y'all. Okay? Why don't we all close our eyes? Because I think that the theme she picked up here was pretty powerful. And I will tell you, almost every sozo I've ever done, I've heard at some point, I just don't feel like I'm enough. That is a theme that's common to most all of us in some area of our life, where we feel the incompleteness, we feel the disconnect. We somehow started thinking I was supposed to be enough for everybody at all the times at some point in our life. The truth is only God is that. And only He can be that for each one of us. Let's just ask God, okay? I'm just going to encourage you all just to kind of repeat after me. First, I'm just going to pray, God, I ask that you be so present with each and every one of us right now. I thank you, God, you're already here. That you love each one of us more than we can begin to imagine. We cannot imagine the depth of your love. We cannot imagine the intimacy, the tenderness, the holiness of it. I thank you, God, you are so faithful to love us before we could even imagine. Before we could even imagine how great your love is. So, Lord, would you bring to our memory right now, or just take us to a place within ourselves where we've felt like we needed to hide or cover up that part of who we are. Any part of ourselves where we felt that, well, nobody would like me if they knew this about me. Ask Jesus to show you why you started to think that about yourself. Why you were afraid that if anybody ever saw that, you'd be rejected or despised. Why? And if you feel like there's nothing there, like it's hard to get in and get connected, I'm just going to pray a little prayer over you right now. Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, Savior and Son of God, I ask you to rebuke and remove any cosmic beings or any lower level demonic beings that are interfering or hindering or making it hard for us to connect with our true hearts. Because we thank you, you are on the other side of that wall, Jesus. Ha ha. He's never going to ask you to go anywhere where he does not go himself. Ever. Ooh, hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Increasing your nurture. I ask you to increase your nurture. Increase that sense of well-being, that you're there, that you're present, that you've never left. You've never turned away. You've never rejected. You've always loved. You've always hoped. Now, Jesus, will you show me where you are for me in this place? And what do you want me to know about myself? If there's some pain locked up in this place, what would it look like if I gave it to you? And what will you give me in exchange? And I just want to say something to all of you right now. Just stay in that place. I want to say to that part that's been locked up inside, I am so sorry that you felt that you didn't matter, that you felt that you didn't have a voice, that you felt that it wasn't going to be okay for you to show up. I am so sorry for all the misunderstandings, that you haven't been valued, that you haven't had a place, that you haven't had a voice. You absolutely have a voice. You are absolutely heard. You matter, and you're needed. You are a part of this person. You have worth. And God adores you, loves you, and wants to be with you as much as anybody else. There are no comparisons in the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't exist. God is not capable of comparing one person to another. He can't. He can't do it. It's not consistent with who He is. So Jesus, I just ask that you come, Holy Spirit, come and fill afresh and fill anew any place that was surrendered to you. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Take a deep breath. If you're ready. If you want to stay there, you can stay there. We have plenty of time, actually. If you're in a good place with Him and you want to keep on dialoguing, go right ahead. But if there is anybody who would like to share anything that was just happening, or even anything from earlier where you might have had an insight about what it meant to feel known, to feel accepted. I'll give you a couple more minutes. What's your name?
Laura Manville.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
So, when she asked, when did you first hide yourself? When I was a little girl. I used to hide in the closet so I could get away from my family, especially my mother, who was very volatile and angry. There were five of us, and my brother is severely handicapped, and she had a lot on her plate, and I am absolutely resolved with her today. So I don't want to in any way negate who she was. She was an amazing woman, and she knew the Lord, but she had a very hard life, and so I used to hide from her because often in her frustration she would want to break me somehow emotionally, and so I used to hide in the closet. So she's Japanese, and so we had these futons that were in the closet. They're like the giant mattresses that you fold. So I used to get in underneath them and hide and just play and daydream that I was somebody. And I was really comfortable there because it was safe. But that's when I learned to hide, is what the Lord showed me. And my mother was very ashamed of me, and so I took on her shame. And of course, I was never enough. And I have to tell you, she was an amazing person. Musical, artistic, loved the center stage. Just charismatic, and you know, everyone wanted to be her. And I wasn't like her. I don't like the center stage. I don't want to be in the front of the room. I'd rather be in the back of the room. And so I was always inadequate for her because I didn't... She was always pushing me to draw attention to myself, but I would rather just not have it. And so she was ashamed of me. So when I was... I can't remember your next question. Where were you, Lord, in this? So I like the dark, because the darkness was always a comfort for me, because I felt like in the light you're seen. And so what I saw was Jesus join me in the futon in the dark. But, you know, he's light. And so when he came and he was just enveloping me like the futon, he was light. And I was in the light, and I was not ashamed in the presence of his light. And he was playing with me. It said, he is light in my darkness. Lord Jesus, what do you want me to know about myself? And he said, Lord, you're so much fun. And you're so much fun to play with and be with. And we were just playing and having fun, and it was amazing. And the next question, if I give you my pain to you, what would that look like? And what I saw was I was just in Israel with Ray Hughes. And it was an amazing time because I was no one's mother, no one's daughter, no one's sister, no one's friend. I was just me. And I got to experience just being me in an environment that was great. And at one point, I was testing out new ram horns in the old streets of Jerusalem. And as I was testing these horns, this group of bar mitzvah boys came by, and you know, they were like not teasing me, but they were wondering what I was doing. And so I said, "Oh, come blow the horn, show me how to blow." And we ended up playing in the old streets of Jerusalem. They would run away and come back, and run away and come back, and eventually they invited me to their bar mitzvah.
Wow.
And when they would blow, I would do something like, oh yeah, uh-huh. And we were just playing in the streets of Jerusalem. And I was so free, and what the Lord showed me said, you don't have to be with Ray Hughes in Jerusalem to be free. Freedom is here for you now in every way.
Could you pray that over us all?
I'm going to ask her, to release what she received over all.
However it works for you.
So, Father God, even as you have broken the back of shame off of my life, Lord Jesus, I, in the name of your precious name, Lord Jesus, I break now the hold of shame off every person in the sound of my voice, whether in this room or on the internet. I say, shame, you are unhooked now. You are unhooked now by the Lord Jesus himself. He unhooks you and he breaks your back, and you will no longer be yoked to the people of God, but you are broken off now, for the Lord himself takes command over you and you are broken. And we release now the light and the revelation of the love of God in such a way that there will be a resurrection bursting forth out of the darkness of the tomb of guilt and shame. And we say, no more. You are gone now in Jesus' name, that you are being unhooked, 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 unhooked. And every chain and link of that chain is being broken off now. And smashed to smithereens. You are unhooked now. You will no longer hold in bondage the people of God and their identities, and their feet will not be clay, but we release the feet of the people of God to dance in the streets and to rejoice with the joy of the Lord, and they will not remember the season of shame and brokenness any longer. That guilt, you are unhooked, for Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cruel cross of Christ for the joy set before him. He endured the shame, so you are broken off now in Jesus' name. And we say, no more, no more, no more, no more, for the light has come. Victory has come. Release has come now in Jesus' name.
Wow, 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 wow. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's really good.
Hey.
Oh. Sure. Yeah. I would encourage y'all, anybody struggles with this theme of shame, and a lot of us do, meditate on that theme. We focus a lot on Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But Isaiah 53 talks about he also took our suffering. He took our shame. Took our guilt. I mean, I don't know. There's got to be a word study to just pull all that stuff out. There's a lot that he did for us on the cross rather than just dying for our sins. There's a whole lot that he did for us to accomplish us. The bottom line, he died so we could have perfect connection relationship with him. That's what he died for. That's what he did. That he wanted us in connection with him. That's really bottom line. It wasn't just to clean us up to make us look good. It's so we could have an ongoing connection with him. He so loved us that he died and took care of every hindrance, every problem. He's got a way. Sometimes we need to discover, how does that thing work here in this particular area of my life? You know, it was a one-time deal, but yet it's also this thing that we're walking out in relationship and connection with him. Any, maybe, that was so good. Thank you. That was so rich. I do want to do one more thing before we move on, actually. Thanks. So when Brené was sharing, did you all start kind of tasting what it would feel like a little bit, that more tender part of your heart? Like when you were a child, like childlike, that part of you, you know, when you were a child and you just go running up to somebody, like you go running up to mom or grandma or somebody that was safe in your home or your upbringing. Maybe some of us didn't have anybody safe. I'll be honest, I had a Sozo recently myself, a Hartzing Sozo recently myself. And it took me back, the memory that came up really surprised me. My memory of the safest person was a neighbor lady who I didn't really know all that well. But actually God, in that session, comforted me. Because when I actually threw a little temper tantrum. I always had this memory. It was so vivid. There's a reason why memories are so vivid in our mind. And it can also be, that was a nothing memory. What was that all about? I literally threw a little temper tantrum, right? I'm feeling bad about myself. And at home, that would have meant, oh, go to your room, or I would have been shamed and blamed, right? But here, she just very calmly explained what was going on. I was going, you're not going to get mad at me. You're not going to yell at me. You're not going to send me away. Wow. That felt so comforting to me. That was so powerful. It unlocked a part of my heart. Even though that wasn't a horrible memory, but I will tell you, it wasn't that traumatizing. It wasn't that big a deal. And sometimes we don't let ourselves get to our healing because we just think we minimize. We minimize. That's the word I was looking for. We tend to minimize what happened to me or what I'm going through. It shouldn't be that. Please don't minimize. Oh, please don't minimize. Your heart is precious territory to the Lord. Precious, precious, precious. He wants us to learn to live exposed. With the revelation that with him we are protected. Now we need that revelation because we need to know we're protected. But you really being you, really being revealed with nothing to feel ashamed of is such an amazing, unreproducible gift. You being you, not trying to be anything else. You are amazing. And I love the theme from the Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, that talks about, Song of Solomon, talks about how we are cultivating a garden in our heart that the Lord walks in. Song of Solomon 2:10, come, dear friend, the Lord says to us, I want you with me, come to me. We get full access into his heart. He wants full access into our heart. Every last bit of real estate, he created you, he wants you, he adores you, he loves you. From Song of Solomon, I think this is 4. This is in your notes. It's his words to you. You have ravished my heart and given me courage, my sister, my bride. You have ravished my heart and given me courage with one look of your eyes. Doesn't take much to please him. With one jewel of your necklace, you are a fountain in a garden, a well of living waters and flowing streams from Lebanon. And now our response, let my beloved come into his garden and eat its choicest fruits. And he responds, I have come into my garden, my sister, my bride. drink, yes, drink abundantly of love, O precious one. We have got so much more awaiting us in this place of connecting with Him. We have a garden that He delights to walk in, delights to tend, to drink of, to smell the aromas of. Why don't we just do that in closing, shall we? Would you all close your eyes again? Just invite you to see yourself walking down a path. And in front of you, you see a garden gate. How do you feel without going in to that garden? Jesus is standing just on the other side of that gate. If you feel any sort of hesitance in going in, ask Him why. Why, Jesus? What am I feeling? Why am I feeling this? Give me courage, Lord, to enter in deeper. Give me courage. Help me connect with my whole heart to know that this is what I want. And if you feel like you're ready to go in, go ahead in. Look around. Smell the smells. Look at the colors. Look at the flowers, the grass, the trees, the plants. Hear the sounds. Look around and see where Jesus is. What do you want to do with Him? If there's anything you want to ask Him, go ahead and ask Him. Jesus, I just want to give you thanks that everything about you wants to be connected to us. It's what we were born for. It's what you created us for. To connect. To be known. To belong. To be valued. And to be treasured. It's why you are here. And every single one of you has everything you need for Him. I just bless you all to continue the journey deeper and deeper and deeper into His heart, knowing there's never going to be an end. It's just going to continue to always be richer and deeper.